This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. After their election wins this week, Republicans face what increasingly seems like the toughest challenge in politics, how to handle success. Michael Gerson has been tracking that challenge. He's a former speechwriter for President George W. Bush, and now he writes under his own name for The Washington Post. Welcome to the program, Mr. Gerson.
Great to be with you.
Even before the election, you were writing about the danger of overreading the results here.
Right. Well, we've seen a series of head-snapping ideological changes in the last few elections. I mean, 2004 looked like a new era of Republican dominance, and then you had two cycles, 06 and 08, where Democrats made dramatic gains to gain all three branches of elected branches of government.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, you know, 70-year historic gains for Republicans in the House of Representatives, less in the Senate, but still significant. And, you know, you have to draw some lessons for this, that these majorities are fragile even when they're large.
And each time right. There's been a lot of analysis about how whoever just won the election is clearly in power for a long, long time.
Right. Well, there's a tendency to universalize a political moment. But what we've learned is that while the ideological views of many Americans are pretty set, if you look at the data, two things vary greatly. One of them is the intense ideological intensity mm-hmm. of kind of, you know, the core of supporters of one party.
Who's
the other.
Excited this year
right.
as opposed to last year.
Exactly. And then independent voters, which have swung both ways in this. And that means, in a certain way, these are very competitive elections in which either party can dominate or either party can lose that dominance very quickly.
Well, I've been listening to Republican statements since the election and just trying to figure out how they seem to be reading the win, whether they see this as a big mandate for big change or not, because they seem to be making statements that could be read either way.
Well, I mean, I think probably John Boehner and Mitch McConnell understand the dangers of overreach.
The House okay? and Senate leaders
right.
of the Republicans.
The question is whether the Tea Party people that have elected in this election understand the dangers of overreach. There's a tremendous ideological momentum now with an anti-government agenda. So I think that there is a genuine mandate from all of the material that we see for fiscal restraint and job-creating economic growth, and Republicans can emphasize those things. But essentially, the deconstruction of the modern state, opposition to Medicare, Social Security, entitlements, and other things, I think that still will get Republicans into a lot of trouble. And if there, you saw in 1995 where the Republican Party, I think, with some ideological hubris, insisted on a government shutdown, and that hurt them badly.
Well, I'm interested because Republicans are talking about revisiting health care, going for health care repeal, and they obviously have legitimate policy concerns here. They want to address. But it strikes me that one reason that health care seems so problematic for Democrats over the last couple of years, one of many reasons, was that people were asking, why are we focusing obsessively on this when I'm really worried about jobs?
Mm-hmm.
If Republicans spend the next 2 years fighting over health care, are people going to ask that of Republicans? Why are you focusing on that when I'm still worried about jobs?
I think that there is I think it's a very good point. The problem is that many of these new Republicans were elected on a pledge that they wanted to vote for repeal. Then the Congress, there will be a vote on repeal, which won't happen because the president can veto anything like that. And then there'll be a big debate on whether they use other methods to try to defund implementation of health care. That would be a partisan trench warfare that could well feed that dynamic you're talking about, where they're constantly talking about health care instead of pushing the president on economic growth.
Michael Gerson, what are you thinking about Sarah Palin, many of whose favored candidates lost, at least in high-profile races in 2010, but her profile is certainly no lower than ever as we look toward 2012?
Well, she's clearly the leading voice in the Tea Party movement, and also, I think, and some Republicans are in denial about this, but clearly the front runner in the Republican nomination. She would win Iowa, in my view, and she would probably win South Carolina, which makes her the front runner. There's no one else that can make that claim at this point.
Just name recognition and also some intense support there.
That's I think, we saw in this last round that Tea Party candidates have even more influence in smaller electorates. okay, where the intensity matters more. Mm-hmm. And that's early primaries in the Republican context. So she's in this position, but some of her interventions in this last cycle seemed counterproductive and arbitrary. Two that I point to in my column today are the O'Donnell, but also Tom Tancredo, supporting Tom Tancredo, a very disturbing candidate in Colorado.
Mr. Gerson, thanks very much.
Great to be with you.
Michael Gerson is a columnist for The Washington Post and former chief speechwriter for President George W. Bush.